Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating the West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 126, and it's January 10th, 2024. It's a wintry, snowy day. Our introductory song is by Peanut Holly. This was made in 1959. Peanut was 14 years old, and it's called My One True Love. And we want to thank Billy Payne for letting us use his song for a few months and Call Me the Breeze. And Billy just signed a contract with Hiawatha Records, and he's got some big things coming up in the next few months. So congratulations, Billy. Our guest today is a former Woodrow Wilson High School athlete. He was a wrestler and a football player. And now he's a Shady Springs citizen, and he's helped for many years with the youth wrestling program at Shady Spring, and we're glad to have him. Kevin Farley, welcome.
Morning.
Now, you grew up actually here in the Stanford area, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Where'd you live?
Stanford Acres.
Stanford Acres. I wasn't sure. When did you first get introduced to sports? What age were you?
Well, I guess I would have been in the third grade, and the first sport I was introduced to was football. And I played for Doc Jarrett and Sarge Maynard. They were coaching Bowling Edition Bulldogs back then.
Lyle Richmond helped with that team a little bit for a while. I don't know whether he...
Yeah, yes, yeah. Lyle. It took me a second to put a name with a face, but yes, he was one of the other coaches out there.
Did you play any baseball or anything like that?
No, sir. I just wasn't my thing.
Yeah. Now, when you got to Stratton, of course, Malvin Ross was the coach out there. Did you continue playing football with him?
I played football for Coach Ross all 3 years at Stratton Junior High, and then my ninth grade year, he took back over the wrestling program. I think Mr. Walker, the former art teacher at Stratton, was the wrestling coach up until then, and I didn't know anything about it had never watched it or anything.
Malvin was the very first coach of Stratton, and then he gave it up for a few years, then took it back, but he didn't know a lot of wrestling, but he got a lot out of the kids.
Coach could bring out the athlete and the best in people, no matter what, whether it was in school or athletics.
I played in the men's league, basketball league up at the Y, at the old Y, and its court was narrow and the court was short. And Malvin and his brother Sherman and a guy named Don Miller, there was about four that played on this one team in our league. And man, every time we played them, you come out with bruised arms and bodies, and I mean, lucky to, and they were pretty good athletes too. I mean, Malvin played college ball, and Sherman, I think, played a little professional football, but they played basketball like they did football.
Anything that you did for coach usually was very physical.
But your first year wrestling was when you was in the ninth grade.
Ninth grade,
and. Who was, you remember some of the people that was on the team with you?
Mark and Freddie Light. Okay. The Ewing boy from down there at Lanark, but he had wrestled in the youth league that you helped start throughout the elementary school.
What was his last name?
Ewing.
Now, when you came along is when a lot of the kids from our youth program started filtering into the junior highs and the high schools. You know, we started them out in the late 70s, and then they started filtering in there. So Woodrow, when you got to Woodrow, they had some pretty good teams at that time, pretty good wrestling teams.
They had some real good wrestlers. You had John Megamoose. You had Tommy Jarrell.
Dwayne Durham,
Larry Vass, Marvin Lawson.
Chet Tony,
Ken Tony.
Yeah.
Brian Fraley. Of course, at the time when I first started, you had Joe Dombey, you had Matt Golden, and you had Keith Humphrey. Those were the heavyweights back, you know, when I first started.
Now, Zafiratis, Jerry Zafiratis was the head coach then, wasn't he?
And Rocky Powell. Then come along, I can't think of his name. He had coached with you some, and he had coached at Woodrow, I guess, a little bit before Zaf and Emma got there.
Oh, you talking about Phil Bartram?
Bartram. Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. He had coached in the youth program at Bradley for a long time, and then he ended up coaching at Woodrow. And well, he ended up being a head coach after Powell left. But were you always a heavyweight?
From the day I was born.
and it's kind of funny, when you were wrestling, you accused me of making a prediction one time.
There's no accusation. It's in writing, but it was. I don't know if it was it was a prediction on your part, but it was a key motivation in me becoming the wrestler that I did become, because at the time we had Keith Humphrey and Matt Galdon also on Woodrow's wrestling team, and you wrote in the newspaper before the first tournament of the year that I would make a good third string practice partner. And the way I was raised and the way Coach Ross and them coached us, if you didn't like your station in life, then the only person that could change it would be you by working hard. And within the first three or four tournaments of the season, I went from being the third string practice partner, as Wayne Bennett put it in the newspapers, to being the first string wrestler for Woodrow.
Yeah, I used to make those predictions, and some for tournaments and things like that. And it was used as motivators. Several people used them. I didn't at the time. I was just making an observation, I guess. But whatever works for you. Actually, it must have worked pretty good for you. You won the Coalfield Conference Championship 3 years that you were in high school. And this is before the high schools had ninth grade programs. And you were also a regional champion, I think. I remember you placing fourth in the state your senior
year. No, third my junior year.
Third?
I was injured my senior year and was put out early due to a shoulder.
Okay. But I remember the year that you placed third. You got beat in overtime. It was like an overtime match to the guy from Stonewall Jackson.
Who had his shoes untied, and I found out why. So when he come up, when I grabbed a hold of his ankle and foot, he pulled his foot right out of his shoes and come out of the hold that I, you know, keeping him down. And when he left, all I was left holding was his shoes. It was a strategy him and his coach did, which, like I said, was a great strategy, but was a hard pill to swallow.
And that year, that 87 team actually finished the highest of, or scored the most points for a long, I mean, probably of any teams in Beckley history, and then was one of the highest finishing teams until this more recent squad that's out there now. So the 87 team was no slouch. But you guys, Jerry took you guys to Pennsylvania. Yeah, I remember going up to Mount Pleasant.
For Rob Waller's tournament.
Yeah, and you talking about a tough tournament. Marvin Lawson finished fourth up there and ended up being a state champion the 1 year.
I won his tournament. I won that tournament the year that Marvin got fourth, which was because it was his senior year, my sophomore year. The years that we went up there, I won them. And Coach Rob Waller has a lot to do with that, as with you, because Rob Waller was one of the first people that I know of once I got into wrestling that y'all brought into the YMCA. And he held it was a Granby camp. That's what y'all had built it at, but it was a little bit of everything, but it was built as a Granby camp. That was when the Granby rolls were real big. And you and Coach Zafiratis had got with Coach Rob Waller and brought him in 1984, which would, like I said, would have been the first year that, or actually, I guess it would have been the school year of 83-84 when I first got into it. And that was the first camp and the first time I had met Coach Waller.
Yeah, the first time I ever met him, We went to a day clinic at Greenboro West High School. Toby Harris was having it, and Rob Waller and a guy named Tommy Cox came down. And then when I started working at the Y, I started bringing Rob down. The thing I liked about Rob Waller, he was the best. I've seen some very good wrestlers in my day, but he was the best teacher that I've ever ran across as far as the wrestling. And he's made a living at it his whole life. I mean, he's still out there, and he's in his 70s. But and he knew how to handle the kids. But we brought him down here several years and kind of would let him know what we wanted to work on or emphasize. And he was a big and then I took kids up to his place and to several camps up there. And a couple of years there, we stayed in. He lived in a church. And we stayed in that church and slept on the floor, and the kids did. But it was a lot of fun. And you also played football. They had some good football teams at that time. I know back then they only took 8 teams for the playoffs. And there was a couple years that you guys missed out on the playoffs that if it had been today's standards, you'd have been in there like 9th or 10th. But you played tackle most of the time and what, sometimes center?
Center and tackle mostly, but anywhere that they needed me on the line, because that's all I ever played. I wasn't built for speed, but mostly I played center and tackle.
Well, who were some of the guys you played with?
Let's see, Greg Simmons, Kenny Browning from Stanford, Vince Colcerto, Toots Colcerto, Jack Pedro, Phil... he was quarterback. I can't remember Phil's last name. Of course, John O'Dell was the quarterback the year I was a senior and we graduated. Played with Dallas Cooper, Steve Gaither, Greg Robinson,
Stephon Ross.
Tommy Gerald. Just some great players. And like I said, I don't know if I mentioned him, but I can't forgive myself if I didn't. Terry Nichols, one of the fastest guys in the state when it comes to running. Either with the ball or without the ball. Of course, Bull Parker, Brad Gwynn, Marvin Lawson is a few right off the top of my head.
That's some pretty good, pretty good ball players right there. Now, the what kind of music did you listen to back during high school?
Well, you know, in that time was unusual. I grew up, my family is from the Stanford area. Hoist Road, they grew up in the coal camps and at the rest haven and stuff. So I was exposed to bluegrass and country. And at that time, my friends all listened to rock and roll, Blue Oyster Cult and Kiss and Bachman Turner Overdrive. And then as I got introduced to more people by going to Stratton, I was introduced to rap and stuff. So back then, it was a myriad of everything, and now I tell everybody I've got a real eclectic taste in music. I listen to everything from country to speed bluegrass, which is where they take a lot of the rock and roll songs and turn them into bluegrass songs now. My grandkids all think that I've lost my mind, but mostly this day and age, I listen to kids' songs.
Now there was an action shot of you wrestling that was in my book, A Glimpse of Wrestling in Raleigh County, and of you putting a bear hug on somebody. What did you normally weigh in high school?
When I wrestled in high school, my sophomore and junior year, it was true unlimited. And I weighed around 230 to 250. And my senior year, I weighed between 250 and 265. But that was the first year that they had put the 275 weight limit in. You know, it went from being unlimited to being heavyweight.
When you graduated, what did you think about going to college or playing ball? Or was you time to go to work? Or
Well, at first, until I hurt my shoulder, I was being talked to by Slippery Rock University and James Madison University for wrestling. After I hurt my shoulder my senior year, I played 1 year football for Concord, which I ended up re-injuring my shoulder again, and then I went to work for many years, and then I went back and finished and got my degree in criminal justice.
Did you ever use that?
Yeah, for close to 25 years, I did coal mine security and strike work and private investigations and such.
I see. I wasn't sure. I knew you were doing something coal related, but I wasn't sure exactly what you're... Are you still involved in that?
Well, not in the security. I'm back into doing some advising. It's kind of strange. Once you get around mining, it's hard to get away from it. Now my son's a coal miner. And like I said, now pretty much all I do is talk for a living or give advice. When I was still working security, I got crippled up a little bit by some thieves riding a four-wheeler. They run me over. But I still got the takedown, so to speak, because I got their four-wheeler, their guns, and the stuff they stole. I just couldn't get law enforcement. They never followed up on it, even though we knew who they were.
Somewhere along the line, you got married. How old were you when you got married?
I was about 19 years old. I married a girl from Piney View who I'd known our entire lives. She was a McMillan, Rebecca McMillan, or Becky McMillan, as most of the people know her. And we've been married 35 years, just the second of this year. And I'm lucky there because she's the biggest supporter that I know of for youth wrestling, because she still allows me to help with their youth programs. Our community team, which is Shady Spring Youth Wrestling, our league, which... In a way, you should get some of the credit for that, the Coalfield Conference. And then I'm also help with the State League, which is the West Virginia Youth Wrestling Association. And at about any of those events, you see Becky running a concession stand or a score table or a head table. So, you know, she sticks right in it and allows me to do what I love. And she loves it probably just as much as I do. Matter of fact, I tell people that if they watch her... in a corner, they could find out that women could be just as good of coaches as most men, except for they're better in the fact that they have that mom voice that people seem to listen to better.
I agree. But now you had a couple daughters in the 90s, and then your son was born, what, around 2000 or something?
I got one son that was born in 88. Okay. He was more of a basketball player than a wrestler, but he wrestled starting in junior high because that's where all of his friends wrestled. And when they got to junior high, as always, they wanted to be with their friends, so he took up wrestling late. And then, like I said, I have a couple of daughters who played soccer and softball and one ran track. Or she didn't run track, she threw a shot put. And then my son, you know, yeah, he'd come along in 2000 and he started wrestling when he was three. And that's pretty much when I took over the Shady Youth Program full time.
But now you had, in the 90s, you had coached youth football. I remember the Beckley C team or something with Guy Holliday.
Guy Holliday and Barley.
And
Bobby Barley. We coached championship team that year. We went Guy took the kids undefeated that year. My oldest and Guy's son and Bobby's oldest was the same age. They all played together.
When did you actually move to Shady Spring area?
The spring of 94. I lived in either Staniford or Piney View when I wasn't traveling with construction. When my son started school, we kind of decided that was the area that we wanted to move out into.
When you got to Shady, you got involved in some, weren't you a member of the fire department, Beaver Fire Department?
No, that's another Kevin.
That's another Kevin. Other Kevin Farley.
And the strange thing about that one, if I understand correctly, he is or was married to a Becky also. So a lot of people got us confused. But no, I worked construction and the security, so I traveled a lot back then. I was in the area, but I was gone most of the time because I was working for Long Air Docks out of Oak Hill, building coal mines, and I worked in Illinois and Indiana and Kentucky and Virginia and West Virginia. So I did a lot of traveling back then. Prior to that, when I left West Virginia for a little while, I went to work for Vasilio and Grogan down in Florida doing construction.
Now, when you got involved with the coaching of the youth wrestling, who actually was I know the Y ran it for a while, then the county, Raleigh County, Jeff Graham and that bunch ran it for a while. And then who actually was running the league at the time?
Well, when I got into it, I think the county had just lost total interest in it. And we formed what was known then was the Southern Coalfield Conference. And it included Lewisburg, Western Greenbrier, Independence, Raleigh West, Beckley had a team, Shady had a team, and Clay County. Out of the six of us, you know, we had tournaments and little league meets and stuff, and then we had a championship. And then a few years later, we grew, we added Braxton County into it. And then when we added Braxton County into it, we changed the name of it to the Coalfield Conference. We put in all the coaches that were involved. We wanted to start competing more with the northern part of the state, the Parkersburg and such that. So we decided that we were going to make some major changes. We went from having bracket tournaments to round robin tournaments and focusing on just getting the kids as much wrestling time as they could without having to go and join or sign up for open tournaments and travel around like I did with my son and a few others did with their kids. We made it so the families that couldn't afford to travel around could see that kind of competition week in, week out. So that idea kind of caught on, and now we're, other than the state league, we're probably the second or probably the largest individual league in the state. We cover from Mercer County to Preston County. We have a team from Canoa County all the way over to Greenbrier County. We have about 21 teams in our league now, and we hold several events either in the north region or the south region. And we have what we call round robin tournaments where all the kids get together and we put everybody in groups of three or four or five. So everybody gets at least three matches each time we do it. Doesn't cost anything other than that. And we tell the kids it's all about education and it doesn't count until we have our league regional. We have a league regional so the kids get to understand that. That's the first bracketed tournament that our league does. Then if you place in the top eight of that, then you make it to our league championship, which is also a bracketed tournament. And it gives parents the ability to get used to spending all day at a wrestling tournament. As you know, wrestling is an all day, all weekend event. And it gives the kids a chance to see, you know, hey, I finally, this is what it's like to actually compete when wins and losses count.
Yeah, it's much better organized than what it used to be. When we first started, we would wrestle, if we wanted to wrestle a Parkersburg team or somebody from the north, we would have to go there. They never came to our place. And then they had what they called a state championship at Parkersburg. We would go up there. And of course, we were a new bunch, and when they would have the state tournament, the seating, we never got seated well. And rightfully so in most cases, but every once in a while, we should have had a kid in there that they didn't give too much attention to. And then after a while, when you guys were taking, people started wondering, well, why should Parkersburg get all the money? Why should they have all the state tournament all the time and it's never moved around or nothing like that? And so it kind of, people started branching out a little more. And I like the way you guys set your round robin tournaments up. You usually have them after a high school event, like the night before or whatever, and the mats are already there. The clocks are already there and the tables are there. I mean, I know that they had them over after the Fallen Heroes thing. They had a tournament. I know you guys had one at Shady Spring. I know Nicholas County just had one this past weekend after the Army duels. And so it's a great idea. You don't have to move mats every time into the place, you know, and kill two birds with one stone. So it seems like it's a much better organized. Of course, Parkersburg still has what they call a state tournament, but the organization that you guys are part of now is
the West Virginia Youth Wrestling Association is based on helping everybody in the state, not just Wood County. Wood County's tournament should be called the Wood County versus the rest of the state, because even from back when you were going there to the time that we quit going there, seating meetings still favored the Wood County wrestlers. And, you know, we were, by this time, we were producing wrestlers like Noah Adams, Judah Price, his brother. Southern West Virginia right now has a lot of kids who's come through the programs and are in college or have been to college, and wrestling's got helped get them there. And you know, the southern part used, y'all used to never get none of that credit. I mean, even go back to the 80s when I was there, Marvin Lawson being such a dominant 167 pounder didn't get the respect that he deserved. And, you know, he went on and joined the military, but, you know, he had at one time was being looked at, you know, to compete for an Olympic spot. But if you were to talk to anybody outside of the Southern West Virginia wrestling family, you know, all they would talk about is who was at Parkersburg South or Wheeling. You know, we didn't get it. Now with this new league, they don't care where the kid's from, as long as when they're announced from somewhere that it says they're from West Virginia. They set up money aside every year to send kids to Fargo so they can get exposed to freestyle wrestling, which is because once they move on into college and to Olympic style wrestling, you know, there's more freestyle than there is folk style. And all the girls that are going to college, they automatically start off in freestyle. So it's a big learning curve for them to go from youth and high school folk style to college and having to learn, you know, quite a bit about freestyle wrestling just to compete, but they're holding their own. You know, we have several girls from our local team or our local league, which is the Coalfield Conference. They're in colleges now. You got Doc Fisher's daughters in college now. We have Taylor Grove from Shady Spring who's wrestling for Bluefield. Of course, as far as boys, we have quite a few in different schools around the country that are wrestling from here. Of course, you got Jackson Evans, who's just graduated from Woodrow last year. He's wrestling for Tech. You got Josh Goode, who's at Glenville Wrestling. You know, he's from Shady. Of course, you know, you have Judah Price, who decided to go play football instead of wrestling, but he could have done either one. His brother wrestled for a little bit in college. Of course, you know, everybody knows about Noah Adams, you know, so it's nice we started hearing more about kids throughout the state and from our area than just hearing about the Braxton Amoses from Parkersburg South. You know, we've got guys that are as good or as competitive as they are. And it was all due to people, once again, such as yourself, who started this. And then, you know, the people from the county who tried, but it was just too hard to manage with people from the county who didn't have any idea of how it worked, and then from the people that helped start it in the Southern Coalfield Conference to the people who come along and helped us advance it from there to just the Coalfield Conference. And then, like I said, with the formation of the West Virginia Youth Wrestling Association, we found a way to, like I said, help everybody.
Yeah. Now, since we're talking about identification, were you the Kevin Farley that used to write letters to the editor?
Occasionally. I would speak about certain things that was dear to my heart.
I don't know whether this is one you wrote or not, but there was one I can remember reading some of those. One was about hunting on Sunday.
When I went back to college, I had to write a paper on something that I thought that should be legalized back in the state of West Virginia. And where I was a criminal justice major, I was assigned the death penalty. Well, my dad, who's still alive and lives in Boone County, he said, why don't you write about something important? And I was like, well, what? He said, well, I work 6 days a week. I'm off on Sundays. What about Sunday hunting? So at first, I started off by printing up some signature sheets and giving them to my dad. And I said, well, if you get them filled out, I'll make sure they get to the state. Well, then I started getting people calling and saying, hey, I'm the same way as your dad. And I'm like, who are you, first of all? And they said, well, your dad gave me your name and number. And so then I wrote a couple opinion pieces about the Sunday hunting and the fact that, you know, it was the only blue law left in West Virginia. You know, you could drink on Sundays after a certain time, but you couldn't go out and hunt. And I found out that more and more people were no longer working the traditional Monday through Friday work week where they could, you know, go hunting on Saturday and still get one day in. A lot of them were working 6 days a week because, you know, mining was scarce back then. So you had to work as much as possible when you could. So yeah, I was involved in that. And of course, jump ahead a few years later, we finally got it. We got it passed, and now it's statewide.
Now I remember some other ones that the rise and fall of morality, mountaintop removal, you were promoting it, I guess. I don't know whether you wrote that or not. And I remember one about the West Virginia Republican state.
That was written for one person. That was written for my grandmother. Once again, she lived up here on the Ridge Road beside the rest haven. She come from a family who was Democrat. And growing up, I would hear that, you know, my way of thinking wasn't correct because my grandparents were Democrats. My great-grandparents were Democrats. My great-great-grandparents were Democrats. So I was born a Democrat. So I couldn't get them to understand that my way of thinking was more conservative. Not, you know, back then it was all either Republican or Democrat. But the way that they raised me was a conservative way of thinking. And the parties were changing more and more in the 80s and 90s. And so I was trying to get her to understand that you didn't just vote for somebody because of the letter beside their name, whether it be a D or an R. You would vote for what person that you thought would represent your family and your friends and your state best of all. At the time, it was either you were a Democrat or Republican. Well, I was a registered Republican at the time, because I was trying to make a point to family members that it wasn't what you were, it was who you were. And how could the same people that brought me up to be conservative in thought and in morality then want me to be in a party that wasn't become, that was leaving the working man behind and morality behind for, well, what we have a lot of today?
It's funny that the how things have changed politically. I don't know especially about thinking, but you know, back in the old days, you were a definite minority if you said you were Republican, and now you don't want to be a Democrat hardly, you know. But I was raised as a Democrat, but when I vote for Democrat or Republican or whatever, and I take it very seriously when I do vote, and if I don't like either one of them, I won't vote. You know, I mean, that for that particular race, but it's but I was thinking that was you that was writing those letters. Now, in 2008, you and Jamie, I call him Jamie Humphrey, Jameson Humphrey, was wanting to put on a wrestling tournament at the Armory that was not anything like we'd had before, because one, anticipating bringing in teams from several different states. Two, you had to have an AAU card, I think, to wrestle in it, which was odd compared to all the other tournaments around. You just went, you know. And you guys had a great idea. You was going to have Sherto, and I think Rob Waller was coming down to do little clinics or whatever, and you was thinking there was going to be hundreds of wrestlers. It didn't quite work out that way, did it?
The first year, it didn't, because one, to the people of West Virginia, it was such a new idea of bringing in the wrestlers that we were seeing as we traveled around the state, or not around the state, but around the country. Once again, it was the thoughts of bringing in that caliber of talent to the kids of West Virginia who couldn't afford to go and do these tournaments out of state in Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, Indiana, you know, just wherever we could find one to go. So we got involved. And at the time, with these big tournaments like that, they were associated with the AAU. So, you know, we partnered up with the AAU to bring it to West Virginia. And the first year, we didn't get a whole lot of kids from a lot of states because it was new. They didn't know nothing about it. And it was called the AAU Friends of Coal Power Nationals. We had also partnered up with the Friends of Coal of West Virginia. They helped us out a little bit. Then Jamie and them moved, and then Jamie and I did it one more year together, and it got a little bit better. We had quite a few wrestlers come from out of state. We still weren't getting people from in the state because they couldn't understand having to purchase the AAU card, and we kept explaining to them that wasn't our requirement. That was the AAU's requirement because of liability and everything else. But we had more kids from out of state than we did in state. So we had great wrestling. We just didn't have big numbers because, like I said, we had kids from as far as California come in. It was kind of nice hearing kids say, "Oh, my family flew in so we could wrestle this tournament," but yet we couldn't get kids from even Shady to come to it.
Did you lose money?
Didn't make any money. It wasn't ever about making money. If the way we went into it is if we could make enough money to pay the officials and pay off the armory, then we succeeded. Like I said, we had a little bit of help from the Friends of Cole. We had a few businesses help, which paid for the trophies or the medals, which at the AAU made you get them through them at the time. The only one that I could say actually made money was the AAU. And so after Jamie moved and we had it that second year, then my wife and we brought it back for a third year and she made it work and everything. And we had a lot of kids from out of state. Then we were getting a lot of kids from in-state. But then what happened is the coal mine industry took a dump worldwide as far as, you know, the price of coal and everything and coal mines shutting down. And I was working more and my wife was having to work more. So we were unable to, you know, to bring it back for the fourth year. Of course, now, with that being said, we still have the hopes and dreams of maybe bringing it back if coal holds up. You know, once again, you was talking about politics and I've met with Governor Jim Justice, and before his second election, he and I had shook hands. He was going to get the Friends of Coal, and he was going to use some of his connections to help raise money to buy two mats for the state, for the entire state of West Virginia, not for Shady Spring, not for Raleigh County, but for the entire state to be used by anybody. I've always seen two things that doesn't sit right with me. We have a statewide sport, and we have no West Virginia state flag mat. And now with the technology, they could print the West Virginia state flag right on the mat and we would have a state flag mat. And the other is the Friends of Coal is one of the big sponsors of the WVSSAC. And you see their name up at football championships. You see their name up at basketball championships, baseball championships, track championships. But you never see it, even though they sponsor, you know, the SSAC, even in wrestling. You don't see anything there. So I wanted to get a West Virginia state flag mat and a Friends of Coal mat that they could use at the state championship for high school. It'd be great to see a state flag mat for the finals, youth state championships. And we are trying to get the state to allow us to have junior high state championships. We're trying to, you know, since we've got them, they're having some girls state championships now in high school. They're looking at accrediting it completely through the state. Yeah. So we've moved there. So now we're wanting to bring along the middle school programs and get them into a state program. But it would be nice to have all these kids have the opportunity, if they work hard enough, to get their picture taken or getting their hand raised on a West Virginia state flag mat or Friends of Coal mat. Because like I said, we all depend on this state. We depend on coal in this state to make so many things possible. But
I'm not sure they'll ever do a junior high state championship, because then that would open up a basketball and girls basketball and everything else. And I'm not sure, you're talking about a lot of teams and a lot of extra dates, but I don't know. You know, you never know. But you guys,
other much larger states do it.
Yeah, 2018. Rick Dunbar, I think, in Parkersburg, that's where they had the state tournament. And they had their facility was being remodeled. And so they were going to still wanted to have the tournament and they wanted to move it. And I think with your help, they got it here in Beckley. And I talked to him on the phone several times. And I actually did a story beforehand about the tournament. But when they got down here, the armory is not built for 900 wrestlers. I mean, it's, if you got the whole bottom floor with 8 mats or 10 mats or whatever you have, then you only got 1,000 or 1,500 seats around. Well, you throw 900 wrestlers there and those little kids, the parents come. I went over to the matches for a short time, and they were parked everywhere. They were parked in the yard where the sign is, all the way up the hill, down the road. I mean, plus the armory wasn't ready for that.
You've got the two leagues mixed up. Several years ago, when Wood County was doing some remodeling, they brought their state to Beckley for 2 years, and we helped Rick Dunbar and them. And there wasn't as many kids back then, and everything went really well. They allowed the people, Heather and Jeff Neal, the Hearts, Tommy Williams, and a bunch of others. We all jumped in and told Wood County that we would help and we would get it taken care of because they were so far away getting it set up. Those two tournaments, people said, was the best tournaments because you cannot beat the Armory for seating for a wrestling tournament, because in a lot of other events, you got seating on both sides and you can only see what's under. At the Armory, you got that 360-degree seating, and there wasn't a bad seat in the house. You could move around anywhere that you wanted to, and you could see. Well, when we formed the new league, the thought process was that they would hold it 2 years in one place, then another area would be able to hold it 2 years, and then another place would be able to bid on it and hold it 2 years. That way, we could also move it around the state to make it benefit everybody in the state other than just one county or one area. Well, what happened is we had it in Huntington for 2 years.
Okay, let's go back a second. So the tournament, I've got it confused. In the tournament from Parkersburg with Rick and them, those went good.
Right, and we had about 900 kids.
Okay.
When West Virginia Youth Wrestling came to West Virginia, we had 1,200 kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when people were parked everywhere.
That's the one I was thinking about.
And even when Rick Dunbar brought theirs from there, they did split times. So you had one age group that started wrestling in the morning and another age group that started wrestling in the afternoon, which gave cars and parents time to thin out. Well, when the West Virginia Youth Wrestling come in there, they were going to try to do it like they did it at the Civic Center, bring everybody in at one time. And you had 1,200 kids. And as you said, so there's one vehicle per kid. And that's if they didn't have any family members coming. Plus, they either had a mom or a dad with them. And then if uncles and aunts and grandparents come, then it was even more. But that's where the congestion come. And yeah, you're correct. The Armory did not believe that it was going to be what it was. They opened up two concession stands and two sets of bathrooms in the whole place. So not only was parking, and then the Armory decided that they were going to try to charge for parking. So you had people that says, well, we don't pay for parking anywhere else. So they started parking up at the Humane Society and there. And the people around here, once again, the Neals, Jeff and Heather Neal, the Hearts and everything said, had they allowed us to be more active, we would have tried to do the start time with split times. We could have made arrangements to have buses. We could have parked people at the soccer complex, at the high schools, and we could have got people running back and forth on buses since it was split times. But that was a learning curve, that because like I said, that was just the third year of the West Virginia Youth Wrestling Association. But they, at that point in time, when 1,200 kids showed up that third year for it, they realized that it was going to be limited to a place like Huntington or Charleston. So now we have the last couple of years, we've had it in Charleston and not Huntington because of the size. And matter of fact, Huntington has misestimated the number of kids and how big the sport has grown to be in West Virginia. So we've moved it to the Charleston Civic Center, which will be at again this year. Because of the size and
but now the kids have to qualify, and you know they go through their region or whatever, and you take what the first eight.
It's based on what the high schools did. We have four regions, same as the high school. High schools have AAA regionals and they have double and single A regionals. So we don't have enough kids yet to have AAA, you know, youth organizations and AA and single A youth organizations. So we just basically doubled the number of the kids. So the same amount of kids that would actually get to qualify to go to the high school states is still the same number that qualifies to go to the youth states, because we want these kids to understand what they're working for and how they're working. And though they don't understand the difference between single A, double A, triple A, and going for two different titles once they get to high school, they all know that they're competing to be a state champion. Well, we take the top eight from each age and weight category from the region, and we bring them to the states. Now, the great thing about being a youth league, unlike the states, and the state has started doing something like that too. If we have an area, a region that doesn't have enough kids to fill their age and weight class up, then it falls to the next region that they can send their number five, their number nine wrestler. So either way, we try to have full brackets with as many kids experiencing what it's like to go to that big event and see what it's like, so they have something to work for, because none of this youth stuff matters a bit if we don't get these kids to the high school and, you know, hopefully on from high school into college for something. Even you was talking about my son earlier. The wrestler that my son was, he finally went to college to play baseball. But his ability and the skills that he learned through wrestling helped him get into college as a baseball player, because you take a wrestler, they can play about any sport.
The most recent survey that I had read is wrestling, high school wrestling for guys has grown about 10% in the past year. And for girls, it's like 50 to 100. I mean, it's unbelievable. Fastest growing sport in the United States is girls wrestling. And so I see in the near future, you guys are going to probably have to offer a girls category.
We have a girls state championship.
You already have?
The year before last was the first year that we had the girls could compete in both the boys and the girls. And we do that because the number for girls aren't quite there yet. But it's growing each year. And eventually we're hoping that we're going to have a separate boys and separate girls completely. But as far as this, as a country growing, there's more girl scholarships being offered in wrestling now than any other sport, because schools are getting into it. And this is all thanks to the United States women's team, how well they've done the last few years in the worlds, plus the last couple Olympics. You know, we've had more and more United States winners of gold medals in ladies wrestling.
Yeah, their biggest nemesis is Japan right now. But the United States and Japan are the best women's worlds wrestler and men's, as far as I know that you're talking about. We're talking about the letters to the editor, which is your opinion on some things. But you don't back off on Facebook either. I mean, you give, and sometimes it's not the most popular opinion. You're not running for anything, I don't think. But I don't think anybody will have to figure out how you feel about certain things. Have you always been that way?
I've always been that way. My family was never political or anything, but for some reason it's always mattered to me what and where the country's going and everything. And a lot of times that you read something that I may put on Facebook, you have to take tongue in cheek. I say it in a way, try to use sarcastic humor, because I want people to think. I don't want anybody to decide anything on the way that I think or way I agree. I just want them to think about it the way that they need to think about it for themselves, because you and I could disagree on anything, and I'm perfectly fine with that, as long as we can have the discussion. The problem is that everybody's either afraid to have the discussion, or if you don't agree with them on their side of the discussion, then it's got to be a fight or an argument. And there's no sense in fighting and arguing. And no, I don't back away from anything, because I'm of that age where I don't know what canceling somebody is. I mean, you and I both grew up, and you're a little older than me. We know people that did pretty horrific things, but then they come back and did some pretty great things. So canceling somebody for one thing is an awful hard thing to do. It would have to be incredibly horrible for me to just totally cancel somebody. Everybody has a chance to redeem themselves and work to better themselves. But canceling somebody because of something they think or they say, none of our grandparents would be able to do anything this day and age, because they thought you know, whether it be politics or about race. They thought so strict of ways. And the great thing about coming up from families that grew up in coal camps, and I've had this discussion with my relatives, and I've had this discussion with other people, and I've had it with Black people that grew up in coal camps. At the time in the coal camps, everybody was so poor. The last thing on their mind was color or religion. They all knew that the only person getting rich was the coal companies, and they were all miserable and barely getting by, so they had to depend on each other. My grandmother said the only difference between us and the Black coal camp was is we were on this side of the creek, which is Paint Creek, and they were on the other side of Paint Creek. But when we wanted to play baseball, they didn't have enough for two teams. We didn't have enough for two teams, but we could play each other, and we couldn't tell anything because we were all dirty and poor. So that's kind of my philosophy, but they were willing to talk about everything. They were willing to spend time with each other. We've become, and as I said, as you pointed out, I am very opinionated, but just because I'm opinionated doesn't make my opinion right, and I don't want to have the discussion. I'll have the discussion with anybody. It may end up in name calling or something like that, but I also grew up in an age that by the end of the, you know, we fought after school. But 20 minutes after the fight, we were playing football or shooting basketball or playing baseball. You forgot about it. There's none of this stuff of well, when I come back, I'm really going to show you. And we've got to get back to that type of thinking as a society, or we're going to be a third world country.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Kevin, I appreciate you coming by and talking to me. And I've learned a lot. Keep up the good work. It's guys like you that have made the youth wrestling and made wrestling great. And people's got time to, sometimes you don't have time, but you make time to put the work in. And, I hope you continue doing that, and appreciate you coming by.
Well, and once again, my thanks goes to people like you and Phil Honaker and so many of those guys that started this off and have grown it, and then yourself for continuing to write about it, because sometimes it's not hard to get a little blurb in the paper when you got to compete with basketball and all these other sports. And also, I like to thank my wife and so many other wives and mothers like her that allow us coaches, us people to coach and everything. But like I said, you don't give yourself enough credit at times for what y'all have done for the sport.
Well, thank you. And anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome. Anybody else out there would like to be on the program, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com, and we'll get you on here. And until next time, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. And this is Wayne Bennett. God bless you. Some stupid with a flare gun burned the place too.